All right. So today I have Brian Larson from the project Metaverse with me, and a friend of mine sent me one of his songs a few months back. So I did explore quite much his YouTube channel and his SoundCloud, and came back to a lot of the songs he has composed and created. He appears for me to be a strong generator of this realm, and I was very curious to hear from you, Brian. How was it for you to grow up in this quite inverted reality, and opening the mic for you to talk about the first step maybe of your deprogramming journey, or maybe first before the first struggles?
Yeah, boy, that's a big journey. I've always felt like a fish on dry land, basically. I always kind of knew that there was a deeper reality, there was something different, but when I was growing up, it was like I didn't really know how to pinpoint it, because we were in that process of programming and going through the system and everything. And I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't right. I remember even in chemistry class, looking at the molecules and the little, I'm like, no, that's not how this unit, that's mm-hmm. not right. But I didn't have any platform or any way to convey that. When I started growing up, 18, 19, 20, I started playing in a band with some friends. We started playing shows and kind of touring around a little bit and just playing shows different places, a lot of clubs. I started drinking to just run away from myself, basically, because I knew there was something inside of me that I was scared to discover. And I think I started drinking and it was a numbing sensation. I also have a very strong empathy. I'm a huge empath, and synesthesia also. So it's like, it's all blended together. So it's like energy, energy and everything. It has color and shape and texture in my mind's eye, and it's like sensory overload. So I started to drink. and then went through some dark nights, lots of dark nights. And it was, boy, there's a, yeah. So I had to experience a lot of separation, a lot of being disconnected from myself, wandering the proverbial wilderness, as they say. but after a while, I kind of, the extent of that emptiness had such an impact on me as to, like, I know there's a deep-seated purpose, or there's a deep-seated like light kind of like going, like pushing up, but there was my ego and this world and everything just kind of like keeping it down. And after a while, it was just like my ego was so destroyed, but the light was just like, all right, give it all up, let me come out, so I went through treatment several times after several relapses, went through treatment. That was an interesting story in and of itself too, because I know a lot of treatment is based on the old AA model, how do you describe it? I'm not good enough model. I'm a sinful being worthy of, I can't do it. I noticed that. I'm like, this is weird. This is really weird, because I am capable. I have that potential within me. I have that divine spark I can manifest and do all things, you know, in a sense. And so that was a learning experience too. And only until I finally got out of that process and stepped out on my own, it was like, all right, I have no safety net, no more treatment, no more nothing. I had a new son at the time. He was just born, so he was a huge motivator. But I was like, you know what, this is a deeper journey than what they think I should do, what anybody else thinks I should do. This is time. It's time to own up. You know, it's time to just say, stop running, stop hiding from who you are, and just own up to it. And so, you know, I had to go through that, all that gross stuff. It's like, there's no way around it. You know, like in the shadow work is like, you can't avoid it. You have to do it. And it gets really deep and difficult. And it feels like just the past 3 years, I'm finally out of it, out of the deep shadow work, I guess. Yeah. It's taken a while.
It always come back and haunt you, though. It's like always taking new form. But I understand, mm-hmm. once you have engaged the first process, maybe then you kind of have a method, at least, and at least you have acknowledged it's there.
That's a good point, because you kind of hit a certain level where you're like, okay, you certain realizations and certain ways to certain light bulbs go off, I guess. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and I feel, you know, I don't know how it was for you, but maybe you can let us know. I feel a lot of reels or, you know, spirited individuals do struggle a lot with depression, but sometimes mm-hmm. they only become aware of the degree of the depression once they are out of it. So mm-hmm. was it like this for you?
Yes. It sort of was, I guess, because there's always kind of a low level of longing, I guess, longing for where I was before this. So that's what it is, I think. And that's something you can't really explain to people. Like, where were you? Well, you know, it's something you don't talk about, I guess, to people. And I've learned that it's tough. So I think there's always kind of that, but
you know, like we kind of when we are going through something really hard, I feel it's only sometimes years after that we kind of come back to it and kind of soak in more layers of it. Because the heaviness was such that maybe we weren't fully inhabiting in the fullness of who we are. So we kind of need to process it at different times, maybe, you know, and then maybe, I mean, I notice it a lot with health. You know, if I don't do much effort with my health, I kind of feel this heaviness coming back. It's also very physical. I feel very linked to the body also.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know, man, my diet has changed quite a bit. And without me really trying, it's just kind of I'm starting to not want to eat certain things anymore. or I'll have a bite of something like, oh, why is this not good anymore? What's going on? And so that's part of the grieving process of like, what's changing in me, or what's changing? Why am I this way? Why can't I just like this anymore? And the same way I used to. Health-wise, you know, I do find the supplements and stuff and all the turmeric and vitamins and everything else I take, I do need to take that regularly, or I do feel the effects for sure. So, yeah.
And here you were just mentioning, is it like, do you feel like the push of your spirit, kind of, and then you have to kind of move along with it. It's like you have no choice.
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot more of that, especially that about a month ago, I just kind of got to a point where I'm like, okay, let's just take the lid off. No more limitations, no more restrictions. You know, I just whatever I'm meant to be, I just want to be fully that. As soon as I made that conscious decision, there's been just like, it's been a torrential downpour. And it's almost like, you know, I kind of felt this question in me, like, are you sure? Are you sure you want to take the gloves off? And I'm ready though, you know.
Do you feel like it's, I mean, there is a lot of programming encouraging us to play small, you know, mm-hmm. And yes. I feel when you experience a shift in frequencies, then, you know, your reality opens up at least a little bit, but it can feel, yes, like a big shift, you know, you can feel it in the energy, and then you're like, oh, wow, what can I do, like, further away than this, if I can do this, you know, you kind of also, yeah, surprise yourself.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. I've had a lot of self-limitation programming, I guess, self-sabotage, or, you know, afraid of my creative potential. Because I think the creative potential is kind of a feeling. It's kind of like something you feel, like in my core, you know, it's like a stargate. singularity point of all potential, and it feels powerful, you know, but it's like, oh my gosh, you feel like you have to hide it. You feel like you have to limit it because you're living in a world that you don't want. Like, I don't want to draw attention to myself. Like, that's my big thing with metaverse. I've always been like, I just want to be a mysterious guy making music and just be in the background. But that's not how it works. That's not how the universe, I guess, my path works. But yeah, you know, you feel that that energy and that power, and I'm like, man, everybody has that. You know, there's, you know, everybody who's connected to source has that, you know, and it's like, holy crap, people, when they realize that. And it's like, and it's also a question of, can we handle it at the state the society world's at? You know, it's almost like I feel like I'm timing things kind of, you know, I guess timing my approaches differently as human consciousness evolves through the, you know, months and years.
I also feel that, you know, usually we have to deal with some degrees of addiction to certain, yeah, external substances, or mm-hmm. all of us have food addiction, and then addictions take another form. I feel, you know, it's like the programming tries to come back, like, but kind of hides in itself in the background, and then kind of go everywhere, you know, in your wire, and then, yeah, it's installed again, and you're like, how did I arrive here, you know? I was trying to get free from them. And
that's a really good point, because I do notice that. I notice that a lot, like, and you're right, it kind of creeps in the back, and you're like, where did this come from? It's kind of that tendency, like, I've noticed for me that it's that tendency to want to like have my brain waves back into a certain state, or like have my consciousness back up to a certain kind of surface level. Like, I just want to turn on a show on Netflix and play Minecraft. But and I guess if to a certain extent, that's okay. But sometimes I almost get hooked on that that state of mind, that that kind of instant gratification. It's like that constant feed of dopamine. Mm-hmm. And then my deeper work, the music, everything else, kind of is like, what about me? You only got X amount of hours during the day. But yeah, it's that programming that just creeps in, and it's like, it's just indicative of the world we live in, I guess. You know, just everything is demanding our attention. Everything is keeping our brains operating at a certain level, keeping our consciousness at a certain level, just constantly enticing us. and that's the trap with social media as well. That's something I've been going through lately for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We were talking about it just before recording, but I've been admitting to myself and to you that there is a comfort to allowing the distraction to get in, because I think it has to do with some maybe unacknowledged fears, but I find some parts really having a strong sense of relief. Mm-hmm. As soon as there is something 3D that, you know, can keep me away from working on what I know I need to work on to kind of make things move. And then it can set in, and then it can get hard to get out of it. It's great that I become more aware of it, and it's been growing in my awareness, this relief that I felt. Micro moments.
Yeah, that exactly. Like it is, I found it's a lot like strength training, you know, like every day I'll have, or, you know, whenever I have kind of those setbacks, those moments of where my mind starts cycling on egoic stuff, or I have those setbacks, it's like I stop myself. I say, okay, I'm here and I'm now. And I kind of observe what my mind's doing. And I'm like, what are you doing, bud? and then I sort of gently, in a non-judgmental way, steer myself back to the present moment. And I'm like, and with all that, you know, I think a lot of, I see a lot of what the spiritual community, or however we want to call it, the awakening, it's hard to know. But I think a lot of times we lose track of the simplicity of the present moment, of the complex, beautiful, intricate simplicity of the present moment. Like when you dive into that present moment, it's like the singularity of now, you know, and there's no time, there's no place to go, there's nothing to figure out, there's nothing to do. And I think at that's kind of our home. Our home base, kind of like where we check in, and that's where we're impervious, you know, the here and now. That's where we're our true essence. I always have to remind myself to get back, to bring myself back to that place. And I think that's what, like, you know, one of the things I was working with a meditation teacher years ago. And I'm like, I love being in samadhi. I just want to be in samadhi. She's like, yeah, but you know, you don't get hooked on it. Meditation is really all about the process of lovingly, non-judgmentally taking your awareness and bringing it back to the now. It's all about that process of continually saying, taking the ego and saying, hey, bud, you're over there. You know, you're focusing and cycling on this. Hey, let's get back here to the present moment. This is the flow. This is the awareness, the field, you know. And I have to remind myself that every day. And I know it's a really, like, and I think the spiritual community, you know, I know, I guess from my observation, it's good that we all remember that, and that simplicity of that, and how it can cascade and create, and how it can help resolve a lot of a lot of the things that we're going through on a day-to-day basis, you know. You know, when it comes to when it comes to a lot of the deeper you know, traumas of, you know, I've experienced that and you know, those are always harder to deal with, but I think I have that, like, I have that tool now where I'm like, okay, I'm wandering, let's get back to source. And I check in and I'm like, okay, I'm at home base. So, yeah.
That's beautifully said. And it makes me think about that moment of creation. And you also mentioned that it has to do with being in the body, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Being in the body. Cause I've always heard the phrase, you know, we're spirits having a physical experience, but I think we are fully integrated selves here and now in this realm and others. And I think maybe we cascade out into the higher realms and other, and as so I think it's more complicated. So I'm like, okay, I have to honor my body. I have to honor my health, and I'm learning for the first time how to really honor myself. I haven't, another part of kind of the way I've always looked at myself and the world is just, I always put myself last. If I have to get something done, I'll just sacrifice my sleep and my health and I'll just get it done. And I've never shown myself the grace and love that I deserved, you know? And I think when I had that moment of realization, it was an emotional moment. It was like, I don't know. It's weird. It was like meeting myself for the first time, or like meeting a long lost relative or something. I don't know. It was weird. So, but to really learn how to do that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I find it quite a lifelong journey to learn to self-care and to self-nurture, mm-hmm. and to kind of rewire the brain to be able to do certain things, and we can track it in some details of our life. You know, maybe 2 years ago it was really hard for us to make space for a bath, but now we can make it happen at any moment of the day. So I would say that is huge, but you know, progress.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's those steps, you know, it's all those smaller steps. So, I don't know. It's been this past year, I left my day job about a year ago. I've been a graphic designer, web designer kind of guy. And to start Metaverse full time. And I was like, the biggest process this year has not been Metaverse, you know, it's been me. So, and it's just been just intense the whole year, but I'm grateful, you know, I'm very grateful because this is so important. You know, because I just know now and in the future as the world changes, as things change, as consciousness shifts, there's going to be a lot of need for people to, you know, to help make sense of things, or help, I don't know, make music or something like that, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always, you know, music always had like a room, a space in my life. And sometimes more than some years, maybe more than others. And I see the great potential in it. Mm-hmm. So how did it happen for you? Then, you know, you were playing in a band. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I started out in high school playing in a band. And after high school, we played shows, toured around, and we tried to make it work. We went to LA and played for a couple record labels, and it was back before even MySpace. So I feel old, but this was like back when you had printed out the flyers and put them in the clubs. And And but you know, it didn't work. And but I guess I'm grateful in the long run. I mean, the guys that I played with are just amazing dudes. But I think I always felt kind of a restlessness, like the thought of touring and the thought of rock shows and the thought of just kind of that scene never set with me. Like, I just didn't like the idea of it. I loved the idea of creating music and of recording. But I couldn't get into the flow of that sort of industry. And then after the band, we kind of just dissolved after a while. That's when I really kind of went into my drinking phase and drank heavily for years. Yeah, so that was my dark night of the soul, many dark nights of the soul. I stopped writing, stopped playing music for probably 4 years, 5 years maybe. Never thought I would do it again. And it's crazy. It's just a crazy process. There's a lot. I think back. There's a lot I think back, and it was just there's something somebody said on a comment on Facebook yesterday when I was talking about being hungover every single day. And he's like, man, you must have been, you know, when you think about people who face that demon every day or who are hungover every day, you must have been pretty strong to face that demon every day. And I never thought of it that way. And I'm like, geez. Yeah, it was painful, but I never gave myself any sort of credit. Like, I always blamed myself for drinking, but I never gave myself the credit for like powering through that. Like, I didn't know how to get to where I needed to get. I didn't know, because I was you know, the I guess that kind of that pull of my purpose and of being an empath and everything else was just so overwhelming, you know. And the drinking helped just kind of like pacify it, numb it, and it was basically plugging myself back in the matrix, you know. When you think of it, I don't like it out here. I just, you know, but that can only last for so long.
Yeah. Right, this is a way, I think, to cope with the harshness and the heaviness of this realm. And I think we all have our own ways. And then what age were you during those 4 years?
Probably, oh boy, let's see. I was in my 30s. I'm 44 now. So I was 30, boy, it might've been longer than 4 years, actually. It was probably between 34 and 39-ish, 38. Yeah, so 4 or 5 years. Yeah. So.
And then how did you get out of it? Or did some bulb light up? Or how did it happen?
I don't know. Okay. Well, boy, this is fun to think about, because this is like stuff that I don't really, you know, talk about a lot. But I think it really occurred to me that, like, wherever my attention, well, I forgot who quoted this, but where your attention goes, energy flows. And so I'm like, I'm putting all my attention into what I can't have, into the scarcity of like, oh, you know, I can't drink anymore. I can't, you know, I'm like, what am I doing? And I saw a lot of that in AA, like the woe is me kind of thing, the focusing on the things you can't have. And like, if you keep focusing on what you can't have, what you can't have is always just going to be your reality, you know? And so I'm like, that's messed up. And so I thought, I'm just going to start focusing on the life I want. And I guess that's when I started to dabble in music more and started to create Metaverse, the I guess precursor to Metaverse, and the more I focused on the reality I wanted to manifest, the more that just faded off into the background. And it was like, wow. After a while, it was just, as far as how deep it, I want to, maybe on YouTube, I don't know how deep I can, if you know what I mean. We are frequential beings, you know, we're frequency, we're light frequency. And, you know, I know, people like Dr. Royal, Raymond Rife, who was a researcher, discovered, specific, frequencies for your different organs, for, you know, frequencies basically. And to me, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, when you kind of look at the structure of the universe and you dive into resonance and frequency, especially when you dive into things like vortex mathematics and some of the stuff Tesla researched. So that, I just covered a lot in a little nutshell. Yeah, but 432, I think, is very important. I know that there are a lot of kind of speculation as to why the standard tuning is 440 as opposed to 432. But I focus on the mathematical beauty of it and how it lines up so perfectly mathematically with it's hard to explain with the numbers in vortex mathematics, basically. There's so many reasons and there's so many ways to get into the, I guess, boy, I don't even know where to start. I guess I could keep it simple.
Well, does it have to do with your way of perceiving the world, your synesthesia abilities? Mm-hmm. And maybe if you start with that, it's going to help to kind of
put words. I think so. Yeah, I think so. You know, where I can't find the words, I think is the left hemisphere of my brain. Like, you know, I've drawn out sort of the science in my left hemisphere, but I'm pretty much all like, I'm like all intuition, feeling, like, to me, it's all energy. And I just see it as energy, you know? And so I see the music, right? I feel the music as colorful, kind of a colorful landscape of energetic waves, you know, and so like the, and so that's kind of how I write. It's like painting, you know, it's like kind of like painting, but yeah.
When you hear the music, or is it when you imagine the music or create the music, or is it for all of these situations?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. So I'll get in the creative space, and then I'll start to put some instruments down, and then I embellish upon those sounds, and then I start to hear different colors and textures and shapes, and I'm like, oh, it needs this, and then it's almost it feels kind of like it feels like I'm channeling, basically, to be honest. I mean, it's like there's something that somehow synchronistic, like it just comes together, it just like comes through, and it's like, you know, sometimes I'll start a song in the morning, and then by the afternoon it's all complete, and I'm like that came through me. Like, I know I have a lot of music, like I've developed the musical skill set to record and do all that other stuff, but yeah, it's funny. I mean, it's just a funny thing. So
yeah, you produce quite a bit of, you know, you have already a large collections of either long tracks or shorter one that you also make into long tracks. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we can see, like, it's like you put your intuition and your clair abilities, maybe clairsentience, clairknowing, maybe synesthesia, I don't know, maybe there is clair audience or clair vision, maybe you have clairvoyant ability, but you kind of make a mix of all of that, and then you have your point of focus, which is creating this song at this moment. Though yes. I imagine you have like a lot of different projects going on, and you kind
I
of
do. There's them. I usually have multiple songs at the same time. Right now, I'm working with a music company, kind of a label, and I'm going to be releasing all my tracks on YouTube Music and Spotify and iTunes. So everything's going to be like put together as albums. And so that's going to help. That'll give Metaverse a lot of exposure, the music a lot of exposure. So that's kind of one of my big projects. But on a bigger sense, I really do feel society has been sort of under a spell. A lot of people ask me about the frequencies themselves, and that is a very, you know, that is a very important part. But to me, where I'm really passionate about is just, it's just like awakening humanity and letting people know who they really are, you know. Like the Metaverse name, you know, it's like Zuckerberg came in and made it something that, you know, he complicated things a little bit, but I knew what a metaverse was. When I first came up with the name, I was very familiar with the metaverse concept of kind of an online universe or a world. You know, I played plenty of video games, Halo, on all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, okay. But then I know that a lot of people ask me about the frequencies themselves, and that is a very, you know, that is a very important part. But to me, where I'm really passionate about is just, it's just like awakening humanity and letting people know who they really are, you know. Like the Metaverse name, you know, it's like Zuckerberg came in and made it something that, you know, he complicated things a little bit, but I knew what a metaverse was. When I first came up with the name, I was very familiar with the metaverse concept of kind of an online universe or a world. You know, I played plenty of video games, Halo, on all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, okay. It just, the fakeness and the insincerity of a virtual world, I guess, that I've experienced, it just doesn't seem genuine. You don't smell the smells, you don't feel the energies, you don't, it's like a blank. Yeah, it just feels so. So in that time, while I was starting to make Metaverse, I was going to a meditation center, which is kind of a Buddhist monastery, not too far away, doing meditations. And one of the meditations was the Metta prayer. You know, may all beings be loved. May all beings. Yeah, there's different variations on the Metta prayer, but. You know, may all beings be free. And so I thought, well, let's just put another T on that. Just call it Metaverse, you know, a universe of loving kindness. You know, we'll see how that works. And so that was kind of the origination of that. But since then, I guess now that the Metaverse has more people know about the term. I think the only thing, like how do I differentiate the difference between Metaverse, two T's, and the Metaverse that everybody's talking about, you know? And so I think my focus and my future goals is to make Metaverse, not just music, you know, make it all of us. Like, I'm a musician, I do my music part, but the concept of a Metaverse isn't, I basically am holding on to the name as a good steward, because the Metaverse, it's like, if it's really that big, if it's our connectivity, if it's the divine field, the Metaverse, if it's the Akash, the, you know, if it's, that's what it is, it's all of us, it's everybody. And so, like, I'm holding on to the name, and so that's where I'm at with that.
Mm-hmm. I love it, because I also, you know, for the ones familiar with the terms meta abilities, it can define or, you know, the meta genes, and you know, all of that is connected with also the real, you know, and the beings with great abilities, you know, who are reconnecting, rediscovering. You know, you have to put a lot of work in order to kind of reclaim, you know, the use of your own gifts. And and many are not aware of their own gifts or doubt a lot, or you know, because of the constant gaslighting of our society, but also in our personal life, with very specific triggers meant to kind of keep us in our programming or be discouraged to explore further. So I find it really, really interesting, like a name. I really like that name. And so how was it for you when you launched Metaverse? Because now you have quite an audience, you know, following your work, which is quite incredible in terms of visibility, you know.
I'm so grateful. It still is amazing to me. You know, I think I've had a few songs that went viral, and it's really that really helped the channel. And then I guess it was just about just being consistent. And I thought, well, coming out of this programming is not easy. It's not going to be easy, and it never will be easy. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to write one song every week and just keep doing it. Like, just like persistence, you know. And so I did, and it started to build and build, and that's kind of how it started. And then you meet new people, and you develop relationships, you develop friendships, and that's the beautiful thing of this, you know, you start to build a community, and then pretty soon it's like not just music, and it's something so much bigger. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like your whole life is invested in, and then you kind of materialize it under the name of a project, and the project grows bigger. You know, when you started the project, you couldn't have the idea of how it would develop 3 years later, because you have to kind of put the first step being blindfolded.
Yeah,
and exactly. Then it kind of grows with you, and then the version of you 1 year later, you know, is different from the version of you who launched the project, but still somehow everything is connected too. So you know, it's fascinating, and I understand, and you know, it's gonna grow, and
it's exciting. I mean, that's the thing. It's so hard because I have so many ideas. And I mean, there's so many places this could go. And I am working with another friend of mine who was in my band. And we recently connected, which is really cool, just to get that connection. And so we're working together, doing some brainstorming of different ideas for metaverse, and how to reach out to the community and help people, basically just help bring up the collective consciousness, bring up the vibes. Cause I think that's so important, because we're all creating our reality, and we need to start to, you know, do what we can. So there's going to be a lot of cool things happening in the future. So for sure. Yeah.
And can you let us know a little bit more about how is it for you, the process of creating a song, or maybe it's different from probably from one song to another?
Yeah. It's always different. But I start, I think over the years I've built up kind of a library of instruments that I'm really familiar with. So if I have an impression, I guess if I have kind of that, like, yeah, if I have an impression, I'm like, okay, let's just put down this pad here and see what this sounds like. And then it just starts to build, because it's all, it's like color and energy and everything else. It is so hard, man. English language is so limited. Like, I wish I could talk. Yeah.
It's hard sometimes to put words into processes, and it's a work of translation, know, from a reality that is vast to maybe something more limited with language that.
Yeah. It feels like a much faster process. This feels like is vaster a word? I like that. That's vaster. It feels like a vaster process. It does feel in my mind, like, or in my heart, it feels like it's a being connected to something that's kind of coming through, and I'm contributing to it, and it's all just kind of one like flow sort of thing coming out. So
okay. Yeah, I see. Also, it's like through the project you are kind of materializing all your inner work, actually, and then the project is just the actualization of all the energy, all the programming, all the reclamation that has been going on. Yeah.
True. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
You mentioned you did work, you know, as graphic work in the past. So I know you have project on that as well, to maybe do more of the graphic style, or in the videos, or you have also the covers of your album. So could you share a little bit about that?
I've been a designer, artist, I guess, my whole life, and so I'm the only cover that I didn't design was Lightweaver. I had a designer, just a wonderful, just brilliant artist from Germany, Berlin. She just did an amazing job. I've done all the other artwork, because I think it just flows, I guess, like music. You know, you just feel it. And I guess that's always been with design. And I, with Instagram, you know, memes and social media, it's hard because there's only so many hours in the day, and I have so many ideas and ways I could do this. Cause I could do the graphics, I could do this. And I'm like, I have the skill sets that I've developed over the years, but there's only so much time. So I'm like, man, yeah. So now I'm at the point where it's almost metaverse is kind of that at that crucible, like, okay, I've built the foundation of it. And now it's like, let's surround it with people, you know, let's surround it with people who, you know, I don't know how that's going to look, but I'm excited. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So would you say like there has always been like an experimental aspect to what you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always been just an artist at heart. I mean, I've always been into experimental art. You know, as far as musical influence, I've listened to, you know, like Radiohead, Enya, I don't know, Led Zeppelin in the past. I mean, even though I'm aware of a lot of the programming from these record industries and the bands and, you know, what the true history of some of these bands. I grew up listening to a lot of that stuff. And so I've always been kind of a rocker, kind of an experimental guy, you know?
I feel like when there is like, you know, like a creation force, like a connection to spirit, mm-hmm. there is a really, really strong frequency to whatever you would give birth to. And, you know, we find a lot of solfeggio music, and I think what differ with many of them and your work would be also the intentions and the values maybe you work with, because it's also an encoding.
Yes.
In the music.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And there is a lot of mind control going on with the music scene, you know, with all the fields and all the scenes. And mm-hmm. I've been experimenting myself how, you know, it can influence you in some mind states that are not going to really serve you. So we can do, you know, it can be used for different purposes. So it's a very complex field also to navigate the music scene.
It is. Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, it's like you see all kinds of people in that scene. You know, there's good people, and I always tend to think in my intent, the intentions I'm setting for, the energies that I'm holding, I'm wanting to attract the right people in that industry, you know, that I can work with without being like in the industry, you know what I mean? Like being, cause but I think, you know, actually I think things have changed a lot of some of those activities, back then, have gone away. I hope to a larger extent, I think, things have changed a little bit. So I'm hopeful, you know, I really, you know, I know that this world seems like a crazy messed up place right now. And there's a lot of mind control programming still. And there's just a lot of people that just have no clue what's going on. But I think, you know, like for me, it does get me down, but I'm like, you know what, damn it. I'm going to be freaking as hopeful and as positive. I want to manifest the best world possible. I have no choice. It's either that or just get sucked down into the abyss. So it's like, let's just go big, you know? And I do know that things are changing. Things are going to shift for the better. They are shifting for the better. And I'm seeing a lot of that happening. It is weird. It's like some shifts are happening, but it seems like it's almost like there's a hurricane surrounding, like out there in the world. It's like this hurricane, and I'm like, what's going on? But this is all part of the process, a birthing process, because it's not supposed to be, it's not clean. It's not a clean process. The planet's, you know, changing, shifting. And, you know, I knew it was going to be messy. I just didn't know how messy it was going to be. So.
Yeah. It requires a tremendous amount of work, and there are, you know, there are a lot of spirited beings who are, you know, who have not awakened to some of the important layers. So I think music can really be a great, key to kind of enter their life, and it can really be life changing. You have some tracks with like angelic voices. So maybe you could pick one that you like, and maybe tell us a little bit about that process, especially with these angelic voices, and what they bring to you, or what you wanted to encode when you encoded them into the tracks.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, some of those tracks. So let me see. Sometimes I will include my voice, but then sometimes I'll include, I have some samples from certain female vocalists that I love. I don't know, to me, there's something about a female vocalist that is just so much more soothing than me singing. And I'm like, I don't, you know, so then basically I use her samples, tune them, and basically I just use my intuition, I just let it start to take shape, and I mix it with the proper EQs and reverbs until it has that steady resonance, until it aligns, kind of, you know, you feel it. Mm-hmm. And let me see what would be a good example. Oh, you know, so I know there's Celestial Voices, which is an early one that I did, that I just put on one of my newest releases. But I listened to that for the first time in a couple years, and I remixed it and remastered it. And I'm like, wow, you know, I guess I never took the time to listen to my own music. And you know, and I think in the moment of creating that music, that encoding, to me, when I write my music, I basically, it, encoding it, I keep it, I just pour in as much love and pure intent as possible, I guess. And not love that's like, I want this to always make you feel like unicorns and rainbows, but love as in, I want this to bring out what it needs to bring out to help you become who you're supposed to be. Even if you hear this song and you dislike it, eventually if it leads you to the path, that's what I want, you know, so.
What a beautiful intention. And you know, when you were talking, it kind of brought me back to the beginning of a conversation with how we can be pleasantly surprised also by our past selves, you know.
Yeah.
And how great we were, even if we see also the limitation of who we were, but because we tend to forget also, you know, the great creativity that maybe we were already expressing, and then we can take that and kind of remorph it into something new. Or
it's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point, because there are, I guess, aspects of me, the way I was, or certain things, I tend to want to forget big portions of the old Brian. And but I think that's not doing myself any service, because I think, you know, that Brian had a lot of creative, had a lot of ideas, had a lot of things. It was just, there was a lot of other things kind of bearing down. So yeah, to reach back and kind of integrate that as well. I think that's something important to remind ourselves, you know, like, to look at everything, even your past self, even though there have been mistakes or whatever we might have done, to look at all of that with loving kindness, you know, without judgment, you know. And it's easy to look at things and be like, man, I was so messed up. Like, I was an idiot. Why was I thinking this? Why did I, I've done so many stupid things. But now, like, you look at it with love and, I don't know. It's just, I'm finding this really sort of weird, like this download of like this radical sense of love, like of everything. But it's not like a weak kind of love. It's like this, it's like a lion kind of thing. It's like, you know,
this is, you were talking earlier, it kind of brought to my feel the sensation that you were kind of talking about space and time encoded in your own words, with an understanding and a connection to space and time. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of transpiring through your words. So that got me also interested, you know, just, and it's beautiful, you know, what you know, when you talk about that strong love, you know, like a love, like seated in something strong and greater than, you know, any mind traps or any low level things. And I think it requires a lot of work to kind of go and get that, that strength and that energy deep down.
It does. Yeah. It takes a lot of work. Because I know when people realize that the pillar of light they are, the you know, that they have inside, like, but I have to remind myself of, I have to remember, continually remember, all the things that I've gone through and like the stuff that I've had to deal with to get to a point, you know, at least a point where I'm starting to figure it out right now, like just starting to, you know, but like to get to just this point, it took a lot of work. And, you know, and the thing that I want Metaverse to be is to help reach people at all those points. Cause I've been at all those points. Like I've been in just, you know, yeah, I've literally been in all those points. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you mentioned that you sometimes work with your voice. So how, mm-hmm. how is it for you? Because it's an interesting tool as well.
It is. Yeah. I'm working on doing more vocalizations, like on my own and kind of my meditative practices, kind of just the om and just letting my whole body reverberate and feeling that frequency. And I eventually want to start doing some vocal tracks, because I was the lead vocalist in my band and I wrote the music. And and there's, I could send you some links of some of my tunes. but I would love to just have like some vocal tracks of just chanting or something, but I just am not quite sure how I want to approach it yet. Cause I'm like, what would I chant? You know, that would be genuine to me. That would be unique and genuine to me, you know? So I think it we'll reach that point, I think, because vocals are very important to me.
Yeah, and you know, there are also this, like, as another side track, but there are also these mm-hmm. tracks where you have like a spoken voice, you know, just you know, a deep embodied voice talking mm-hmm. about, you know, the path of life can also be like a journey, you know, and a music, it's very yes. inspiring too. I mean, like an addition to.
That's what I've been thinking about doing, because I want to tell more of a story of Metaverse, I'm really happy you reached out to me, because I'm kind of a private person. I'm very introverted, but I feel the pull of like getting out there and being more, speaking more, sharing more. And I'm like, I've been resisting it, you know, like, ah, I don't want to put the camera and talk into the camera. And I just feel weird, you know, even though I know it's time. Hence here I am, and this is wonderful. So
yeah, I know how hard it is to there is a lot of steps to overcome to be able to sit in front of the camera by yourself. It's always easier when we gather in the space, when we are two person co-holding the space and then creating, yes. you know, we meet in co-creation and but you know, I've been also struggling with. I'm just starting. I enjoyed the energy of last full moon to kind of mm-hmm. do something on self-sabotage, for example. But I know it took a long way for me to walk and become able to do that. So I understand it's the depth of that process.
Yeah, because I put a lot of energy into my work, and you know, with music, after I do a song, I have to the next day I have to just completely take a break and just kind of like reset, because I invest a lot of put a lot of my intentions and a lot of energy in, and I feel kind of a little tired spiritually, I guess, and so yeah.
And are you able to take that time off?
Yeah. Fortunately, now with the YouTube being where it's at now, I've been able to, you know, take a little bit. I'm always working on things every day. But Metaverse is my full-time gig. So but yeah, I don't know. I feel it's like if the feelings are so intense, like sometimes the creative feelings, and they can be quite draining, you know, because you have so much creative energy and creative passion, and you're like, you know, you create this song. And so that's what I'm learning, how to regulate that, and like how to give myself the room that I need to, you know, and not push myself too hard, because I have a tendency of doing that, like just so.
It sounds a very balanced way to do. I find it hard sometimes to stop, because the mind is always in action, you know, so. Mm-hmm. And new ideas come every day, and it's hard to, I find I'm always a little bit late in comparison to all my ideas, and then I have to catch up, and sometimes I'm able to catch up more than other time where I feel like it's not moving so much, right?
Yeah, I have that, I understand that totally, you know, I've been just trying to, like, because there's so much going on right now. It just, and I feel the state of the world, and kind of like, or whatever that really means. But I feel the energetic sort of like a lull, or like this sort of like lull, or like this holding pattern. And I kind of feel the restlessness out there in the world, and the I feel all that stuff. And it's like, how do I you know, how do I deal with that every day? It's like you, it's a struggle, you know, I mean, because everything's changing every day, you know, and yeah, we're co-creating our reality. And that's a beautiful thing when you start to realize that you're creating your reality, but at the same time, it's like, there's still a lot of mental confusion. There's a lot of like, what, you know, what's going on, what's going to happen, you know, what can I manifest as opposed to what might intrude into my manifestation, and how does that work exactly? And all this other stuff. And that's when I find just going back into the heart and the heart flow, you know, I'm like, okay, all right. I'm all that stuff is important, but I'm like, okay, back to the heart, back to the heart. So.
That's pretty amazing. And
yeah,
your abilities, you know, your way of perceiving and sensing and evolving in the world also kind of led you to live some, what maybe people would call like supernatural experiences, but that are just not very supernatural. They are just denied by a certain portion of the population. But would you want to speak a little bit about how you experienced them, and you know, what they meant to you, and you know, how important they were maybe on your path?
Yeah. Boy, as far as supernatural experiences, I think what some might be some might call supernatural, I think I've always seen, I've always felt the greater reality around me, I guess. I don't know, like, or yeah, again, English. I felt the presence. I feel a presence, you know, like I'm not just sitting in an empty room. In all realms, there's so much going on, and there's just in the unseen realms, it's just, you know, and I guess it's a feeling thing for me. I just kind of sense it all, you know. It's like, for me, like ET disclosure, all that stuff. I did have an interesting sighting and an interesting run-in with Bigelow Aerospace, but that's another. But I've always felt just kind of it's to me, it's like one of those things where it's like, why, when you already know the consciousness that's already around us, you know, here and now in the non-local. It's like, when you know that, when you feel the beings, the angelic presence, or you feel that, it's like, you know.
And I think you were mentioning, I'm not sure, you kind of experienced like a tap on your shoulder, or was it on your back, you know, like some kind of in between presence. Oh, yeah. between dimension, you know.
I did, yeah, I did. My father passed away about 6 years ago, and this, oh my gosh, there has been a couple of interesting things. So I know the day he passed away, we all met at the house after he was taken away, and you know, we're just sitting around. We didn't know what to say to each other. Just like, what's going on, you know? And all of a sudden, there is this kid's toy in the corner that says phrases. And I think, so we were talking, we mentioned something. I can't remember exactly what we said, but we said something about, well, obviously something about him passing away, and all of a sudden, perfectly timed, the toy said, bye-bye. Well, like that was weird. And we all just kind of stopped, because it was like, it wasn't prompted or anything. It was just sitting there, and like, what are the chances, the timing of that? It's like, that was weird. And it seems like his kind of dry engineer sense of humor, you know, And but then several weeks later, you know, I was sleeping, and in the morning time, it was probably in the morning. My son was in the other room. He was about 1 year old, I think, and he was crying, but I was sleeping. And all of a sudden I literally felt a tap like on my shoulder. Like it was like, and like, what was that? And I heard this kind of go get your son. It felt like it was audible. I don't know if it was audible, but it was in my mind's audible, my mind's eye, my mind's ear. Mm-hmm. It was real. It felt real. And so I'm like, yeah, okay, Dad.
Right.
I think he finally transitioned though. So he might have, I don't know if he was just hanging around for a little while until he went onward or what, but it was interesting.
Yeah, it's a beautiful example. So of clairaudience, I have one example in my own life where it was in ceremony and I really heard the voice, but I knew it was only in my own head, right?
Yeah,
I knew it was only audible for me and that other people wouldn't hear it, though it felt really real. So I know I can relate to
the experience. Because it feels like it's a voice from somebody else, because it doesn't feel like it's something you're thinking. All of a sudden, it's a sudden like somebody saying it. Yeah.
Yeah. You can feel the presence, right? And it's a distinct voice. I in my case it was a male voice and it was I still remember it to this day. So it leaves kind of a long lasting impression, you know. It's very
amazing.
Reassuring and comforting, I think, also in
this context. Have you had a lot of those contexts before?
I mean, you know, I lost my mother also kind of six years ago. And one day it was in the first months of grieving, and at the time it was complex in my life because I was in a relationship with someone who had really no empathy.
Okay.
So it kind of postponed my grieving, if you wish. But mm-hmm. one of the morning, it kind of I felt like a little on my knee, on my nose, like this.
And
I kind of doubted it. You know, not giving the full credit of really like welcoming it, but at the same time, I didn't also fully dismiss it. But But I think now, if I would get these kind of signs. Or when I do, you know, I make more room for them.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to, sometimes it's easier to make room for those kinds of things than other times.
Right. Especially when there is a lot of heaviness, then.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't, I feel we are very encouraged to not ask ourselves questions, or I've been finding myself maybe at the end of my 20s in states where I wouldn't question what was happening around me, or, you know, and only now I've been, you know, reflecting a lot, and I realize that I have missing time in some moment, which, but at the time when I was experiencing it, I wasn't aware I had missing time.
Okay.
I didn't question and I just continue like on a rail. So it's very interesting how it works, because I think it's more common than people might think. And we just don't remember it all the time, you know?
Yeah. So is it just kind of like being in a different state of mind, or is it being somewhere else, or?
Right. I didn't question, you know, it was like I couldn't remember maybe 2 hours or 3 hours, but I didn't pause. I went on, and I went on with my life, you know. I went on with my life.
Yeah.
And it's only quite a few years after, like 6-7 years, that now I can question, but what happened? Because at the time, the programming was so dense that I didn't have the space in myself to even ask the question, you know. And I think that's the power of mind control. And
yes,
you know, we see that we have a difficulty sometimes to question because of the heaviness of the programming. And we program encourage not to ask question, and I think the numbing and the numbing,
not even knowing what to question, not even knowing how to phrase a question, I think, because they keep it so convoluted and confusing.
I think you know, you can revisit your own past. I think we all do, layer after layer, we come back to it and new things come. And, you know, in the fringe topics, they also call it like the cover and the false memories. And it's interesting how sometimes you need a few years before you're able to break through that programming. And for me, this is fascinating. That's also why it's very interesting to go back to all material that we created, whether it's recording, writings, you know, little creation that we start, because it can also bring us back to how we were thinking, or, you know, we might have forgotten how creative and great we were also. So,
yep. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people who need to remember at a certain point, how creative and how the, what they used to create and what they might've forgotten about. And maybe it's time to rekindle that, you know, maybe it's time to, and I think it's so important. Just, it gets us in this, if we're creating, it gets us in this mindset of manifesting, you know, of not responding to the world, instead of responding to the world, of creating for the world, you know. And I think we're put in such a responsive mindset. We're always reacting, you know, to stimuli and it's so easy to do, you know. I think it's
so easy to be in reaction. Yes, I totally agree. I was wondering if your dream activity or your dreams have any room in your in the way you create, or how are they important for you?
That's a really good question, because I kind of think in my dreams, I always, there's a familiar place I always go to, but it's like in a different parallel universe or something. I don't know, but it just feels like a different place. There's like a reoccurring thing. But then again, and then I had, you know, some other dreams of like, I don't know, what might have been a past life or something, or like, it felt like it. A lot of times, though, I don't remember my dreams. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a complex process with some dream, but sometimes we can get a snippet of it, especially in the first hours of the day. And
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I will, during the morning, after a while, I'll kind of forget what I dreamt of the night before, but I'll remember the impression of it, of how it made me feel, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And, but yeah, I don't know, if we go somewhere in astral. I mean, I know in astral we can, go explore places, but I'm like, am I doing things when I'm sleeping or what?
Yes.
Like, I would like to know that, but I don't know.
I think it's an ongoing process. And I remember, you know, 10 years ago there was a point where I could remember three of my dreams, but it never happens. Lately I feel the technology to suppress the memory, I've evolved and I've been upgraded. So it requires very conscious work, it's a very, very interesting, you know. So I just wanted to briefly kind of touch on that. You kind of propose different things, so now you have a YouTube channel, you have a website, you have mm-hmm. a SoundCloud, you have maybe different other channels that you can let us know about. You also propose mentorship, I do think. So could you also tell us a little bit about your project and the mentorship project?
Yeah. I did start a mentorship project. I had that going for a while. But I'm shifting focus right now into kind of getting my music catalog out there circulating, and that'll help free me up to explore that again. But I do, that's one thing that I would really like to continue. And I know there's a lot of musicians who would love to learn about how to do what I do. And I think that I'd have something to offer. You know, and I think also, you know, another thing with the channel, one thing that I really want to do is some interviews, you know, just do kind of shorter interviews, or even a like Metaverse Minutes, where there's some just a message that will help somebody, for a 2-minute message or something, a quick little video. I want to start to incorporate some of that. And I really want to bring in other people as far as doing interviews, or even guest songs, people from other artists. I might hear a song from another artist and say, man, let's put this on the channel. That's what I really want it to be. I want it to be that. So,
right. I think
so. There's a lot of different things happening all at once. So
I understand that desire to want to collaborate with other energies, you know, and kind of make a creation, and also get inspired. There is something different happening than when we are with ourselves. I mean, these are different processes. So you've been expanding so much, and I think you also propose for creators, like anyone who has like a YouTube channel, can buy the rights of your music, right? And then they can use some of your tracks for their own creation. Is that right?
Yeah. So I have right now, I had to make some minor changes on my licensing on the website. I know as far as like monetization, I won't be able to cover some of that stuff, but I want to make sure that other artists, practitioners, you know, can use my music to help them grow, to help them in their business, and because that's what it's all about. I know that there's the you know, there's the 3D industry side of music, and you know, when you put your music through when you want to put your music through Spotify and all that other stuff, you have to kind of go into the system, and and I'm like, okay, but I want my music to be just used by healers. I mean, and I want it to be, I don't want to restrict it from people who, you know, are using, who want to use it for their practices. I'm working on some messaging right now for the website, just to kind of clarify things for everybody. But for, you know, people, for health practitioners, or just anybody, I have them for sale. So
yeah, they are great things. You know, it's for ceremonial spaces or this kind of thing.
Yes.
So your website is metaverse.com with 2T. Is that correct? And what are your other channels, or where can people reach out to you?
Sure. My main YouTube channel is just Metaverse. I have a second channel that I started a while ago that's linked actually to Metaverse. It's called The Event Within. And that's something that I'm probably going to use that channel to start to just share my ramblings. I might just go on and start rambling about whatever. I'll be on there. But if you want to get a hold of me, just brian@metaverse.com. Just email me.
Yeah, and I had a glimpse on that channel. I find a video, I think a few videos, but I remember one of your videos. I don't know if it was like 1 year ago or, and it's great to know that, you know, we can also listen to you talk, and you know, there yeah, it's a project I'm also looking forward to keep on witnessing and discovering. So I invite everyone to go and check your channel, and you know, leave us a comment, and if they have questions also they would like you to answer in the future, you know, I would like to keep it an ongoing conversation with you, and maybe have you back in a few months, you know, to kind of keep the conversation alive and see where you are at and your visions of this reality, because I think, you know, we definitely need more of that.
Yes, we do. And things are changing fast. The world's changing fast, and I feel a lot of I feel a lot of excitement and a lot of like energy right now. Like, it's go time.
Yeah, you there is that in your field, and that's helping to shift some of this heaviness and these heavy things, you know, that ties us to comfort. So I feel that into your field. So thank you very much for spending this moment with us. I'm looking forward to speak with you again in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Aria.